Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way, a voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locust and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Let's deal with it. Book of Mark. Why in the world, Troy, would you pick the book of Mark? You've got four Gospels. You've got 27 chapters that you could have picked from in the New Testament. Why in the world would you have picked Mark among all of these? It seems like that would be probably of the four, the most or the least interesting, because it's the shortest of the four Gospels. Just why would you do that? Well, let me tell you why. According to the theologians, it is the most simple, succinct, and straightforward gospel of the four that we have in the New Testament. In addition to that, Mark is the least complex in terms of the language, as well as the most clear about the adult life of Christ our Lord, even compared to Luke, who writes, as you know, the longest gospel of the four. Mark is the most clear about the adult time that Jesus spent here on the earth. So, the Lord has called us to consider Mark, and what I want to do in this conversation with you, these talks, these sermons, I really want to talk to you about what it is to walk a straight line. Straight line is an image for us in the next several weeks of what it is to walk the best walk we can walk for God, for ourselves, and for those who we both lead and who we follow. That's a challenge, isn't it? To walk a straight line, or to walk well, to walk without wavering. That's a challenge, isn't it? Anybody perfected it here? Let me see. No, okay, good. I'm in good ground. I haven't perfected it, you, so we're all in this together. We're going to study the book of Mark. We're going to start at chapter 1, the first 8 verses. But before I do, there's one more piece I got to offer you. Mark, according to one theologian, really writes this out of the composition of being a mathematician. Now, Matthew, as we all know, is a tax collector. But if you look at how he structures the gospel, it really is written as somebody who really wants to get to the point quick, who doesn't like to play around, who doesn't like to fool around with this. Part of the reason why these messages every Wednesday is 17 minutes and 34 seconds to the knob. It's the attempt we're trying to make to be clear and to be cogent and to be excellent about the business that we're engaged in. And if there's anybody in the Gospels who teaches about the adult life of Jesus, how to follow, how to live, and how to love, and how to serve, clearly as Jesus would have us to do so, it is Mark. One theologian suggests that his writing of this comes out of a text called epistemology. It's a theory, a work, and a study of crafting the text, and a philosophy of thinking that centered itself on how to find the clearest solution to who we are, to what we want to become, and understanding what we've been called to be. just this year, the Center for Religious Thought did a study, just last year I should say, did a study of 4,000 Christians, and they asked them what is the biggest question they have. Anybody want to guess what the biggest question they had was? Don't, I'll tell you. Here it is. Am I the only one who's struggling with Christianity? I wouldn't have guessed that that would have been the biggest question, but that was their biggest question. Am I the only one that's struggling with Christianity? Meaning, am I the only one who's struggling with the balance of my imperfections along with the call that I sense God giving me to live into? It's in this thrust that Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 comes to our attention. Ian read it ably, but I want to start tonight by reading verse 1 again. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. It should be noted that he writes this having studied the Old Testament text in such a way that he translates what he learns from the Old Testament diction of Isaiah, who was a seeker of the unknown God yet to come. And in doing so, he says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, he attaches it to the mystery of Isaiah's words, as you know. Remember, we just finished Christmas. Anybody want to finish this for me? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, the Everlasting. You got it. So if there's any semblance of truth to the fact that Isaiah in the Old Testament is transcribing his knowledge of who Christ is, who God is in Christ as Jesus the Christ, it is this text here where we discover him trying to struggle with the fact that he's following one who is God himself. Have you ever struggled with your own ability to say, I'm actually trying to follow God, God's self? Not a mystery, not some theory, not some philosophy, but I'm actually trying to follow a God I've never seen or touched, but he is real and he is present and he is my Savior and it is Jesus. And boy, that kind of freaks me out because this guy was perfect and I can't even see him yet, and still I'm called to be like him. That's where they are. That's where these 12 disciples are. That's where Mark is. That's where John Mark is. His full name is John Mark, who writes this text. And as he does so, he goes back and says, oh yeah, this is the guy that Isaiah was writing about a long time ago. Here's the point. The point is, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, as it's written in Isaiah the prophet, he says, I will send my messenger ahead of you. The most difficult struggle current Christians have, percentage-wise, is am I the only one who's struggling to live the way God calls me? And how quick can I get there? And how well can I walk it? I want you to hear the craziness of how we are right now. Maybe you're not crazy. Let me just talk about me. I'm crazy. Because the struggle I have, as it might say in Romans 8, is the good I would do, I do not. And the good I would not do, I do. Oh, wretched man is me. Meaning, I'm trying to struggle and live this best life as Jesus has called me. But at the same time, I'm human and I'm struggling and I'm going to screw up and I'm going to make imperfections. And while at the same time, I have to do that, I have to be balanced. And boy, I have to make sure that I'm not embarrassed, because we all have egos. Or is it just me? Nobody wants to show their imperfections in public. Or is it just me? Okay, it's not just me. Thank you. I don't feel so crazy anymore. And at the same time, I want to be known as human so that when I do mess up, you at least don't beat me over the head with it perpetually, correct? Walking a straight line will drive you crazy if you let it. That's the whole point of this. Trying to live this perfected life is a crazy notion that is impossible, even though John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, says that we ever move on towards perfection, that we're supposed to move on towards this perfect way of being in Christ. And here's the good news for everybody here. You get there when you get to heaven, and none of you are dying anytime soon, and are we all glad about that? However, there is a point to this. Verse 1 suggests to us that if we're going to live the best life we can, if we're going to live in what I've named for us in this season of study and sermon writing, this straight line, I want to live as a straight line, I want to live the best I can. If we're going to do that, we got to first understand that a straight line always begins with purpose. It always begins with purpose. John Mark, the writer of one of the Gospels, wanted us to know so well and so clear who Jesus was in his adult life and what he did to give us not only salvation, but access to living the best life we can. He wrote it the most succinct way he knew how because he used his unique skills, gifts, and graces to do what he could do that no one else could do the way he did it. There's good news in that for you and I. Because the gifts, skills, and graces we have give us a distinct and unique purpose to live the best life we can, the unique way we can, as only we can. That is why Russell's story is so important for us tonight. Because Russell did the best he could with the skills he had in the way he was gifted, according to his own gifts, even though he was an outsider who loved to live among the trees in the wilderness, and he's still living, by the way. He does the best he can to share his witness of the gospel, of the love of God that he's experienced in his own life through the means of saying to others, I have been sent here uniquely for you, and I will use my gifts to do just that. I know all of you around here one way or another, some way. I know you because of Emma, so don't worry about that. She's told me a couple things about you. All of you got unique skills, gifts, graces. I've watched some of you. Some of you work hard and don't want anybody to know it because you're very humble. Some of you are smart as a whip. And you never highlight your gifts at all. And you wonder sometimes, will anybody recognize me? Until the very moment, at the very point that you thought your life was not going to be seen by anybody, it's seen. I like to say it this way. We all get our 15 minutes of purpose because we've all been purposed for a life beyond ourselves. If there's ever a witness to that, it is this guy named John, who's really the focal point of these eight verses here. Go home and read it. I know you were wondering where I was going. There's this guy named John. Now listen, John Mark is most succinct, but John Mark is so most succinct, but John the Revelator, or the person who's the gospel person of focus in this text, is crazy. Don't believe me? Go home and read verses 5 through 7. This is the guy who eats wild locusts, wears crazy stuff, and tells people who he's never met to repent. Let me ask you, just pause here a minute. I've got about 6 minutes left. Have you ever seen somebody come up to you and the first thing they tell you is, go repent? In places I come from, if you say that to somebody and don't even know their name, you might not get up off the ground for about 5 minutes because they might clock you real good and say, who do you think you are? Now, I know you come from very distinguished neighborhoods, and I do too, but we have other sides of ourselves, and while we're distinguished, we got a 45 that we might take out and work on you if you because we're that kind of crazy. We're just that kind of crazy. And John knew that, but he still was bold enough to use the distinction and the uniqueness of his gifts to go to people because he loved Jesus so much and said, hey, regardless to come what may, I'm going to move this gift as best I can to make sure that while I'm living on purpose, I give you the purpose of my living. That was free. It didn't cost you anything, but you might want to hear that again. He said, well, I'm going to move for the purpose that I'm living. I'm going to live for the purpose that you have for you. In other words, as you live into your purpose and you fulfill your purpose by living it out, by whether witnessing or serving or whatever you do, you need to know you turn that around and you let somebody else do the same thing. It leads me to the second point I want to offer you, because as he understands his call is to be the only one, even as crazy and weird as it feels sometimes, to be the only one in an atmosphere that seems like they're doing exactly what they're called to do, he also understands that to do so, to live in a straight line, is always preparing for something or someone else. Verse 3, just so you'll see it, the text says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Here's my point. If your purpose is not preparing other people for the richness of Christ, you are off your game. And just because you're not a preacher, and just because you're not a singer in the church, and just because you're not something with a title in God's church, doesn't have anything to do with the level of purpose you both can live out and the way in which you can express the whole intent for God's reason for giving you breath and life. In fact, I want to suggest something to you, that just because you do something outwardly doesn't mean that you were supposed to do it inwardly. Anybody know people like that who do things outwardly that really don't make sense for who they are inwardly? I want to suggest to you, it's the reason why John calls them to repent. Because he says, you don't have to live outwardly when you don't understand it inwardly, when you don't feel God's call on your heart and mind. And I just want to offer this. If somebody in here is the only one who feels like sometimes they're living out of bounds, you are not alone. We all have been there before. And the grace of Christ is that each day is a day of new beginnings, and you get the chance to start all over again, because God knows we all need fresh starts. It offers us a place of third posture, a stopping point again in the text. Verse 5, here's what it says. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan. Wait a minute, hang on. This is the guy that just walks up to people and says, you need to be forgiven. You need to repent. And they go. Notice that. They go. They just go. What makes them go? What would cause people who have never seen somebody who is eating wild locust honey and just saying, come on, go with me. I'm going to baptize you in the Jordan River. I know that you know this process, but you don't know the person who I want to invite you to. Come on, let me do this for you because you need it. What would make people just to drop everything and do that? Here's what makes them do it. They're living in their destiny. And people who live in the straight line of what God's called them into always are guided by the development towards their destiny. They're always guided by the development towards your destiny. And here's what I want to offer you for 2018. You can take another step in 2018 to be what you're called to be, but you got to live on purpose, and you got to have a drive for passion, and you got to find the point of why you get up each and every day. And the grace and the power of that is this, that if you can get up with purpose every day and find passion in spite of the pain sometimes that you deal with because of the needs and the issues of your life, you will discover a destiny that will help you develop in such a way that you will never, ever, ever, ever doubt that life is worth living. I think that's what Jesus did when he found his purpose for being the Son of Christ, Son of God. I think in knowing that, in having the fulfillment that he was living for something beyond himself, even in the most difficult and desperate days of his life, he could drive on towards the goal because he knew that there was purpose. And when there is purpose, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you got to stay on purpose. Which leads me to the last thing I need to do. Say this last point to you. It's found in 7 and 8. I don't have time to flesh it out, but here it is. A straight line always makes an impression that cannot be denied. Now, I got to give you this last Mentimeter moment, but I got to give you the code because there's a new code for it. Here it is. Take out your smartphones. The new code is 645593. And it gives me the chance to finish this sermon with your information asking this last question. Lest you think I didn't listen to you. Ha, ha, ha. I did. You ready? Here it is. How much pressure do you put on yourself to live in a straight line? In fact, let me say it better. How much pressure do you put on living a straight line in life? Now, you got some options here. Watch this. One, not at all. Two, just a little. Or B, just a little. C, I'm pretty well balanced in my opinion. And D, way too much. Way too much. Okay. The balanced people need to go ahead and write a book. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. There we go. We have nobody who's from Jamaica, man. No problems, don't worry, man. Nobody? Nobody. Okay. All right. What's your point, Troy? What's the concluding piece of this? As we turn our attention to preparing to leave this place, here's what I want you to know. John says this, after me there is one who's coming more powerful than I, whose thongs I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. And while I'll baptize you with water, know that he will baptize you with his Holy Spirit. Which means this, that because you may be the only one who is gifted and distinct and unique to do what only you can do, you are also the only one who God will uniquely fashion for the specific gift that he wants to give you to make sure you can meet your accomplished goal. And the promise is God will do it because you are, in your own way, the only one. All right, next week we're going to go back to chapter 1. Get ready for that. And we'll continue in this kind of study and kind of conversation called A Straight Line. Before we do, I want to tell you next steps. Tonight, if you go back there and you share with us an opportunity to engage in some fellowship and some meal, there'll be some people there who will ask you two questions. What did you learn tonight, and who do you need to engage in to make that happen? There'll be some tools offered to you, and you are invited to ask questions and engage each other and share information that you might grow in your faith. And so, what I want to let you know is, we are leaving this place, but not his presence. If you want to engage us in the ministry of offering, you can go on our website and do that. We'd be glad for you to do that. There's easy ways that you can give online at thenewstjohns.com. Now, we've walked the journey. We have shared. We have worshiped. And the word of the Lord has been offered to you. So here's my prayer for you. Go forward in peace. Know that God's grace is with you. And may you have a really good night. And all the people of God said, amen.